Okay, last Tuesday, we started a very, very important sugya, a very important inyan. I'm only going to be able to summarize in 3 minutes, because it's already a little bit behind the time, to summarize in 3 minutes, and we'll try to move as quickly forward as possible. It's a very big inyan in Chassidus and Avodas Hashem, in understanding the difference between a Jew and a non-Jew, a Jew and a goy, which is a little bit what we were just talking about a minute ago. Where is a Jew coming from? And what's the true way of a Yid, of a Jew? Obviously, in order to understand that, we have to go back to our father, to Avraham Avinu, and to Sari Meinu, to our Zaydi, our Bobby, Avraham Avinu and Sari Meinu, to understand why is it that Avraham Avinu wanted that this should be old age. For Avraham Zakein Bobby Yomim, and Chazal say that he wanted that there should be zikna, old age, zikna. Chazal say he didn't want to walk into a town and he should look the same as his son, which is the opposite of what everybody wants now. That's all everybody wants now, is that they should be able to look as good as their kids and as young as their kids. That's a Western mentality. Avraham Avinu didn't want that. Avraham Avinu wanted zikna. He wanted that it should show. The beard getting gray, the hair getting gray, wrinkles. He wanted it.
And color.
Yeah, everybody's trying. What do you mean? It's a $1 billion business to hide old age. Avraham Avinu was dafka the opposite. So, and then I spoke about that last Shabbos in Shul on a simpler level. Here we're learning something much more in depth what this means. Basically, what we were learning last Tuesday from this sefer, this maimer from the sefer Mesamech Tzion, what we were learning was that there are basically two approaches. Page Nun Ches. There are two approaches, there are two ways to overcome the Yetzer Hara. There are two ways to fight against what's wrong inside of us, and two ways to work on our midas of becoming greater people. There are two ways. There's the way of Seichel. There's the way of Seichel. Seichel is very strong, especially the Seichel that Hashem has given His people. I mean, there are plenty of... There are plenty amongst our people who are missing something in Seichel. But a larger dosage of it than the rest of the world, Am Chacham V'Noven, right? We're an intelligent people. But Seichel doesn't have to do with IQ. It doesn't have to do with book intelligence. Seichel means the intelligence to live according to what that truth that we know is right. And V'Yadata Hayoim, meaning to make decisions, the decision to strengthen my Yetzer HaTov, over the Yetzer Hara, to understand what is good and what is right, and to live according to that. The Seichel, therefore, the Seichel must control our Midas. The Seichel must be that force in our lives that we live by. And the emotions, the Midas, cannot chalila get the better of us. That's one way, Seichel. But that's not the ultimate way. The ultimate way, the highest, highest way for a Jew to be able to control the darker side of himself and to be able to perfect himself in his midas and in service of Hashem is with what? With the koach of the neshama, of the soul. Meaning that there's a koach that you and I have, and we spoke a lot about this last Tuesday, there's a koach that you and I have that's stronger and more powerful than Seichel, which is the koach of Neshama. Each and every one of us has within us a chelek elokami mal mamish, a portion kivyochel of the creator of the world. That is something which completely, completely transcends any of the koiches, any of the kochot of this world. Anything self-kosof, Seichel is something which is limited. Seichel is human. As human beings, our Seichel is finite. And as strong as a person's mind is, and as much as he concentrates, and as much as he decides to say, smoking is bad, I got to get over that. Drinking, too much drinking is no good. I spend too much time away from home, I have to put more into the house. As strong as the seichel of a person is, it still can be, from time to time, it can still lose in that war with the midos and with the Yetzer Hara. Because it's finite, it's human. But inside each and every one of us, there's something that is superhuman, and that's the neshama. That's the neshama. And therefore we learned that the nations of the world are called Umais Ha'olam. Umot Ha'olam. Umas Ha'olam are the nations of the world. And the word umais, nations, is from the word ein, ima, mother. And the nations of the world, they really trace their yichus, they connect more to the women from whom they come, as opposed to the Jewish people. Klai Yisrael, our yichus, of course, goes by the family of the father, goes by the father. We spoke a lot about that last week, and that's why when it comes to Jews, the Torah says always l'mishpachosam leveis avosam, by the father's home, by the father. What's the chiluk? What's the difference? So let's continue. Umavai Rabbeinu on page Nunches, the sixth line. Umavai Rabbeinu Akdusha's Levi. This is all based on a teaching, page Nunches, the fifth line. Umavai Rabbeinu Akdusha's Levi. This is all based upon a teaching from the Holy Baditshara, from the Kedusha's Levi. Shebeze achein tomra chiluk vahavdola ben Yisrael umais. If you want to understand, what's the difference in pnimis, on a deeper level, what's the difference between a Jew, a Yehudi, a Yid, and an Ein Yehudi, and a Goy. To say that a Jew is smarter, that, as I explained last week, that's not really the answer. Even though we have more Nobel Prizes for people, and even though whatever studies have been made show that Jews have a certain edge when it comes to the intellect, that's not the ikkar of what makes a Jew different, the fact that he's smarter. That truth that was smarter, as I said last week, has gotten us into plenty of trouble many times. So that's not it. That's not the edge or the mila that a Jew has. What's the ikke chilik between a Jew and a guy? He says, he says, ki aim, or aim, whom iloshen amos hamida. Which means, remember, the nations of the world are called umos. Umos ha'olam. The United Nations is called the the abbreviation is the United Nations. The nations of the world are called umos from the word aim, which is a mother. Aim is also Meloshin Amos Hamida. It means a standard of measurement, or a measuring rod, like a ruler. Shu Koach Mugbo B'mida Ugvul, which means what? It means that which has boundaries and limitations. The word aim, ima, ama, ama is a measurement of distance, right? Arba Amos. An ama means a measurement. A measurement means that which is limited, it's constrained to a certain place, to a certain amount. What does this have to do with ima, with a mother? So the Bedichva explained that teva ha'aim, lidaig al-chitzonius bina, the nature, the traditional nature of the Jewish woman, of the mother, of the aim, is to be mostly concerned with the misgeris, the framework of their children's and husband's lives, which means the chitzonius, the exterior, as important as it is, midoisav, mishkolo, the height, the weight of the child, marei hachitzoni, how is the child, how does he feel, how does he look, and so on, where's his bus stop, what clothing is she wearing, and to take care of the physical needs of the family. Again, understanding full well that much of that, there's an effort to change much of that nowadays. And we're not going to that subject. I think everybody that knows me knows that I don't prescribe to any of these modern changes, as only to the degree that it improves the quality of life of people, but that we know that the traditional role of the mother was to be more focused, as brilliant as she might be, was to be focused on the physical well-being of the children of the home, and, of course, their emotional well-being, their simchas achaim, and so on. Mash'en kein av. However, the father, whom yiloshen rotzen, what's interesting is the word av, which means father, is also in Lashon HaKodesh, is connected to the word ava yevimti, which means to have a rotzen, to want. The word ava, aleph beis hey, means to want. Lo ki lo ava yevimti, in the parasha of Yevamos, in Kiseitse, when the person does not want to make the yibum, ki lo ava yevimti. Lo ava means not to want and not to desire. Ki ha'av mistakel al pnimius benai. The traditional responsibility of the father is to be more focused on the inner life, on the inner life of the child, whereas the mother is more concerned, again, that doesn't mean that she's not a deep and spiritual person, but the nature of the woman and the role of the woman of the aim is exactly that. Amas Hamida, which means to be concerned with measuring what this children, what the child needs, and what the child, how the child dresses and eats and so on. Whereas the father is more attuned to what the child wants, meaning to the inner life of the child, to the pnimius, to the rotzen of the child. Ki av mistakel al pnimius b'no. B'chinis ha-rotzen shabo, the rotzen of the child. Liyasher ulasakin or chaysav v'midaysav. Traditionally, the father was given the main responsibility for educating and for being concerned with the pnimius of the child. But not what he wants, that he wants a car or he wants to take a trip, but who he really is. The pnimius of the child, the deeper rutzen, the deeper will and desire of the child. That's the father is more connected to that. Spiritual part, again, usually, this is not a pure, obviously, it's not pure division, usually. The father's main concern is not what the kid looks like. It's not how he's dressing, it's not what he's eating. And therefore, the Sfarim tell us that the koach haseichel, remember we learned last week and reviewed a minute ago, that the domain of seichel is limited to this world. Right? It's limited. How a person thinks, what a person understands, it's a human finite koach, the koach of seichel. Therefore, it's connected to the mother. Since the mother's world is the world of that which is seen, visible, and finite, the exterior world of the child and of herself. That's why women are very, very particular about how things look. If it's unhealthy, it could become obsessive. A guy will go, let's say, when it comes to buying a house, the guy will walk into the house and say, okay, this looks okay, I'll take it. And the wife will say, what are you talking about? Did you see this? Did you see this? Did you see that? He said, either I didn't see it or like, what's the big deal? So the nature of a woman is to be extremely focused on how things appear, how they look, on every detail of what's outside. Again, this does not say that she doesn't have depth. If she is a woman that is not focused on Avodas Hashem, that could take her every day to the mall, you understand. That could be a life of such silliness and emptiness, which unfortunately in the secular world is very common. But in Yiddishkeit, the meaning of ima, of aim, of that koach of the mother, is to be metapel and to take care of the framework of life and the exterior of life in a very healthy and holy way. Therefore, it's called ima. Ima means boundaries, borders. It means amas hamida, for amos. That's this world. Seichel is bound to the constraints of this world. As brilliant as that person is, that doesn't necessarily mean, as we spoke about last week, that doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to be a tzaddik. Some of the biggest rishoyim, some of the most wicked people who ever lived, were very brilliant people. So seichel, the fact that a person has seichel is human, a human being is finite, and the Yetzirah can get the better of him. No matter how smart he is, he can lose to the Yetzirah. He called kula in a barak b'mida u'gvul. The seichel operates according to mida and gvul, according to the boundaries of this world. Therefore, even if a person uses his seichel to establish a life that is moral and that's decent, that does not mean that as far as a guy is concerned, the best and most moral person he can be, obviously tries to use his mind, his intellect, to make good decisions. But yet we see throughout history that there are very brilliant people who are making horrible decisions and have become very destructive and evil people. A Jew has something else inside of him that's higher than seichel. That edge that we have is not the intellect. The edge that a Jew has, which is higher than seichel, which can bring him, and it's the only thing that can bring him ultimately to his tikkun, to his shleimus, that's the neshama. Rak l'shleimus chitzayne shleimus mugbelus. Human intellect can bring a person to shleimus, but only shleimus mugbelus, limited shleimus, according to how it's defined in that particular culture or that particular society. So in one culture, in one society, to be somebody that is exceedingly wealthy, even though he doesn't have a family, he doesn't want to get married or have kids, that could be the picture of success. He might be considered to be the most successful person. He's an eligible bachelor, doesn't settle down, doesn't have a family, brilliant guy, he's got billions of dollars, he's got 10 houses, and he's considered to be the shleimus of that society. We look at that and we feel tzrachmanis. I mean, we wouldn't mind to have a little bit, you know, the money, but as far as shleimus, perfection, that's not human perfection. It might be considered perfect according to the intellect of, or the mindset of that culture that he lives in. But that's not shleimus. That's not the shleimus of a person. Human perfection. Human perfection is defined according to each society and civilization and culture, according to what they have determined with their human intellects, what's perfect. But a Jew has something else. A Jew has a neshama. And the neshama is higher than seichel. And the neshama transcends the seichel. Therefore, many, many Jews, as I spoke about last week, have done the most irrational thing of all, which is to give up your life for Torah and mitzvahs, for belief in Hashem, even though their whole lives they weren't even religious. But I'm going to die as a Jew. Even though they didn't live as Jews, there's something inside that takes them to a place that's irrational, that's higher than seichel, that's beyond what the mind says. Therefore, the guf, the physical world, is called ima, and part of the mother, that mother is the seichel, but the world of the neshama is called, in the Zohar, is called Abba, the father. Therefore, Sarimenu corresponds to the guf, and Avraham Avinu corresponds to the neshama. It says that Beferish, it says that in the Zohar. That doesn't mean that Sarah wasn't a deep spiritual person. She was a big tzaddikus. But that koach of the mother, is that which corresponds to the guf, to the physical world, to the body, that concern for the world that you see. And the koach of Avraham Avinu, the Zohar says, Avraham is neshama. Avraham Avinu is the inner world of pnimius, of the neshama. Ki kasha yoyer or neshmasu bekirbo. When can a Jew reach perfection? He doesn't reach perfection according to what the world says, according to the standards of the biggest professors and the biggest philosophers. The shleimus of a Jew depends on accessing that koach of the neshama that's higher than anything that's human. And only through the neshama, yisak and maisav umidoisav v'shosham mamish, can a Jew truly be misakein, perfect his midas. That, let's say, for example, that particular culture or civilization that this person lives in could say that the only way that you could be successful is by being mechutzif, like we were talking about before, that America, there's a lot of chutzpah in America. So you know what? They'll tell you in school, the kids will hear in college, or they'll go to hear lectures, they'll tell you, if you want to get ahead, you have to have chutzpah. You have to be shrewd, you have to be dishonest, you have to have a certain kind of a cleverness, and you have to be also a balgaiva, you have to sell yourself. All of advertising, all of business, you have to sell yourself, now, that of course, this is what we talked before, that of course carries over into your personal life. You can't be a big knacker at work, and a big knacker, and a balgaiva, and a mushchas, a lowlife, and a crooked, scheming thief in business. And then you come home, you're all of a sudden a tzaddik. So, what creates that monster? The answer is that civilization, it might not be officially that they've made that decision, but the understanding somehow evolved that if you want to get ahead, you can't be this gentle, soft-spoken tzaddik. You're not going to get ahead. You want to do that, you know, you can't even do that in a classroom. You can't do that in yeshiva. The kids will run over you. Forget about business. You can't even be a Rebbe like that nowadays. Every Rebbe has to come in. He has to be an entertainer. The Rebbe himself has to talk a certain way, or else he's going to lose the kids. He can't be a Chavetz Chaim. Forget it. The kids don't want a Chavetz Chaim these days. They'll run over him. The Chavetz Chaim never would have been successful as a Rebbe in our yeshivas. First of all, he couldn't play basketball, couldn't play, you know, with the guys. He wasn't cool. He couldn't hang out. And v'chulu v'chulu, you understand. Because Western culture is selling a certain type of a persona, a personality, and that personality is the one that's going to get ahead and is going to make it in our Western culture. That's not the personality of a Jew. That's not the ideal. That's not the shleimus that Avraham Avinu was dreaming about. That's not the shleimus of the Chofetz Chaim. It's not the shleimus. There are a lot of good things, of course, in our culture as well. But that is not the So what is that? But anybody with intelligence will say, listen, if you want to get ahead of work, you got to do this. I'm sorry. At home, you want to be a tzaddik, be a tzaddik at home. Be a tzaddik in shul. But if you want to get ahead in the world, this is what the world has decided. This is how we've decided to get ahead. How did you decide? Who decided? Kacha. It evolved like that. And from there comes the unbelievable chutzpah of the Western world. Chutzpah isn't looked in the world as being a mistake. It's a lechatchila. This is a way to succeed. It's the antithesis of what the Torah believes in. Because the Torah is not coming from human seichel. The Torah is coming from something that transcends seichel. It's coming from the neshama. And that is the neshama that every morning you and I get up, we say, Elokai, neshama shenasati bi toherihi. The neshama that you created within me is pure. At the brosa, at the yitzat, at the neshama bikirbi. It's something different. It's something different. The chutzpah comes more from the Western Edom Esav mentality. The Yishmaelim, with all of their faults, which we know of, as far as derech eretz, as far as respect, just the opposite. That had a major impact upon the fact that Jews who lived in those countries were much less influenced by the Esav Edom. Esav Edom is from this parasha. What does Esav say? Haliteina, give me the food. That's Esav. Esav is a mechutzav. Yishmael is a menuhel. Yishmael is a baltaiva. He's an adulterer. He's a baltaiva. But he has a certain edelkeit, which the Muslims have. It's a peradam, a wilde mensch. He'll blow himself up, but he'll say, no, and before he kills you, he'll bow down a little bit. And say, I don't know how you say in Arabic, b'chavod, but you know, he'll say also, b'chavod. Boom. And the Arabs are famous for their hachnasas orachim. If you're in their house, this is we're also from Avraham Avinu. They also have a concept of their eretz and so on. But Esav and Edom, you don't have. Esav and Edom, you don't have. And you know, no. And you know where it comes from? It comes from that intellect, from that education of the West. That's why you remember that when Esav was killed, you remember, his head rolled off. So he was beheaded. We're not going to go into that right now, but when one understands the pneumius of that, what is it that the head of Esav? Because the entire tumah of the Western world is that intellect that's separated from the emotions, just that mind, the head, that's separated from the heart. The Yishmaelim, they're big daveners. There's a lot of emotion there. That by them, it's a problem of what to do with all of that emotion. With Esav, is he nechah hadach lamus? I'm going to die anyway. Let me just have a good time. The chutzpah of haliteni na, of give me to eat, give me. That's the ish yadei tzayid, the ish sada, a hunter, a man of the field with nothing to do, hanging out with nothing to do. All of that is Western culture. And that, when you put it together with the education of the left wing liberal Western university, you have a very explosive combination, and you just walk in the street and you see what that's brought into the world. By the Yishmaelim, it's a whole different problem, but their problem is not the derech eretz. Adrabba, the Yishmaelim have tremendous derech eretz. They're respectful. They show respect and so on. And that's not the Indian of Yishmael. That's the Indian of Esav. Esav is chutzpah. Esav is the West. That's chutzpah. It's less. It's more limited. They're not stupid, but it's more limited. It's more limited. That's a whole different parasha, Yishmael. It's a whole different parasha. But Esav is the coldness, and it's the coldness. It's the intellect separated from a deeper sense of what's right and what's true and what's moral and decent and ethical. That separation of the head from the rest of the body. That's the world of Esav. And that's the chutzpah that we have in the West. But a Jew has something else. We're not going to finish today, but a Jew has that neshama, And that's what he explains, and this is really based upon the Torah from the Vedichava. And that explains, he says that Kol Yishov Echetzer Ritzani Lehimashech Acher Or HaElyon Or Einzer Baruch Hu. If the deepest need of a Jew, even though he doesn't understand this necessarily, but the deepest need of a Jew is Davke to break out of the limitations of this world and to come to have a connection to that Or HaElyon, to that higher light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is higher than anything of this world. U'bezen Nivdul Yisrael Min Ha'amim. And the Vedic was teaching us that this is the ikkar difference, the main difference between a Jew and a Goy, between the Jewish people and the nations of the world. Even though there are many people, certainly there are many Goyim who are wonderful, and you would say, he acts much nicer than this Jew that I know. That's not the point. That's not the pnimius. The pnimius is this. U'bezen nivdul Yisrael min ha'amim. The difference between Yisrael and the nations is Goy ein lo b'chinas abba. A Goy does not have a nefesh elokis. He doesn't have godliness inside of him. He does not have a neshama. A Goy doesn't have a neshama. There's something spiritual in a Goy, but it's not a neshama. Whatever it is, we're not going into it, nefesh ruach, he doesn't have a chelok elokim imal. He does not have a portion, kivyochel, of God himself inside of him. That means that he doesn't have that bechina that's called Abba, Father. Ein bechina neshama. He's lacking, he's missing that bechina, that quality of neshama. Shubuchinis or Habilti Mudbal, which is a light that is infinite, that is higher than the human intellect. He doesn't have that. Ulaza af im yisakin or chaisav midaisa. Therefore, even if this guy is a very fine person, and he tries to live a decent and moral life, remember, that decent and moral life will be determined by the teachers, the professors, the philosophers, and psychologists of that culture. So it might be considered very moral in America, but it might be immoral in China. It might be moral in Japan. It would be immoral in France. It has to do with that particular culture and that intellect that dictates to that culture. So as nice as this guy is, he has nice midas, a nice person, even-tempered, good-natured, and so on. The best he could do is to be left up to his own natural instincts, that he's naturally a nice fellow, a friendly guy, a generous guy. That together with his own seichel, his own intellect, which again is finite and limited and very much influenced by culture and society. Therefore, his entire tikkun, the tikkun of that guy, is a tikkun which is mugbal. It's limited. Again, he'd be very wonderful, but it's limited, it's earthbound. Therefore, the goyim are called umos, after the word ima, mother, which again is the physical world. It's finite and limited. V'lo yegiya l'tikkun amiti l'mayla sa'adam ha'shalem. And therefore, the guy can never reach that mayla of Yisrael, that he could be a lot better than a Jew, and could be a lot nicer than the Jew, because that Jew is not living up to his potential, obviously. I'm not talking about that. But you're not going to make a Chavetz Chaim, you understand? You're not going to have a Chavetz Chaim. You're not going to have a Chassam Sofer. You're not going to have a Moshe Feinstein. You're not going to have... we're not to go back to a Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, to Baal Shem Tov. We're not to go that far back. You're not going to have it. He could reach a certain level of Shleimus that the guy is capable of reaching based upon what's decent, ethical, and moral, according to the dictates of human intellect and human nature in that particular society that he lives in. Which can be very nice.
Unless he converts.
Yes, if he converts, then we know that according to Rabbi Yisrael, then he's tapping into he receives a new neshama. He receives a different neshama. That's no longer the same person. Those are not his parents, that's not his brother, that's not his sister. It's a different neshama. It's a different person. Therefore, the goyim do not consider themselves their yichus by the father. It's by the mother who gave birth to them. And you could find that even among the goyim that are the lowest of the goyim, there's a certain, generally, not always, there's a certain care and love for mom, for the mother. But the father, if they know bichlal, I mean, kaidim it's a chiddush, yeah, they have to know who the father is. If they identify the father, my father, when he had this business, So there was a woman that was working for him for a couple of years. She used to always steal from the cash register, but my father knew, because she came every day, so he used to know exactly how much she stole, and he used to even tell her sometimes and joke with her. But she at least was steady. She came all the time. When my father said, you wouldn't believe what was going on there. Like every now and then, like some guy would walk into the store, like a teenager or whatever, somebody, a 20-year-old, and she would say, oh, that's Jimmy's boy. And then 2 days later, somebody else would say that, and he'd say, oh, that's Johnny's boy. And those were her children, but each one was a different father. Every day, my father, there was somebody else, this whole labor that here, and he used to ask Estelle, how do you know, how do you keep track? You know, she said, it's not easy for her to keep track. Who belongs to, who comes from where? So they don't have a yichas after the father. The father, that's why you see by them, it's very easy for the father, not by all of them, of course, but by many, the father can leave them. The father's not, he doesn't feel, between the father and the children, there's no big mechayiv that's holding him in place by the father. Our mother is something else. The mother, their misyaches, their yichas is by the mother. The mother is the one that gave birth to them. The mother is the one that took care of them, that raised them, that sat up with them at night and did the homework and so on and so forth. And that connection is a connection that's very much of this world. And they feel that connection on a very basic level. This is the woman who we love, who took care of us. And that's why the nations are called Umas Olam. But by Klal Yisrael, we're counted in a different way. We have all of that, of course, from our mothers. But in addition to that, we're counted Limishbachosam, Leves Avosam, by the father. Because the father means that Koach, like the Zohar says, that Avram Avinu is Abba's Neshama, from the Lashon of Ava, which is Rotzen, the deeper, the Pnimius, the Rotzen, the desire of the Neshama that's identified with the father. And therefore, the Jewish people's, the Yichas of Klai is Limishbachosam, Leves Avosam. And therefore, the Bedichvid explained that lachain ein hagoy misachis and nimsha ha'avid ki b'chinas of b'chinas rotz na'pnim hu l'mayli mehasagoso. A guy doesn't have a shaychus to that inyan of the father. That's higher than the limitation of a guy. Vein l'shum keshu v'chibu l'shum. He's not connected to that. Rak achi imay nimshach. He's drawn only after the mother. Kevin shekoach ha'aim hu koach mugbal. Since the koach of the mother is a koach mugbal of this world, as we explain, and that he can connect to, that he can understand. But Yisrael, the Jewish people, are mesiaches davke after the father, because they're drawn after the pnimius of the neshama, which is the ikki yichas of a Jew, is the neshama. We're going to we'll need one more time to finish this yisod and to understand how by learning this, we kind of have a different understanding of the koach that you and I have to be mesaken amidas, to work on ourselves. That even though, as we're going to learn next week, even though it's true that psychology can be very, very helpful, but the most helpful thing to a Jew beyond that and higher than that is to tap into the neshama, and Mitzvah will continue with that next time. Shkaya.